And just in case you didn't know, her name was Marilyn. Let's have a word of prayer. That door is open back there. We don't want the good news to get out, you know, outside. Just our Father and our God, we thank you for this day and this time of fellowship. We always enjoy coming to this conference and these people that we've grown to love so dearly. We thank you for everyone that's here in attendance. We thank you especially for those who have taken care of providing the food and all the services that go into making a good conference. We ask you to bless the reading of your word, for Christ's sake. Amen. Title of my subject matter tonight is, it may be scriptural, but not dispensational, and may be wrong. Religion is a problem today. You agree? You know, religion goes by guidelines of what they call creeds, religious creeds. I know I was in a Baptist church for 37 years, and I know about something about creeds. Sadly, too many of those creeds supersede the truth of the word, and that's what's a problem. For instance, let's take a look at some scriptural things. Christians should not eat pork. Christians should keep Israel's seventh day Sabbath. Christians should wash one another's feet. Christians should not wear jewelry. Christians should sell their property and put money in a common treasury. Christians should not pay a pastor a set salary. Christians should go by twos to share the word of God. Preachers should not have any money in their purses. Christians should have visions and dreams. Christians should not be injured by poison from snakes. Christians should speak with tongues, and other Christians should be able to interpret. Christians should have the gift of discerning of spirits. Christians should cut off their offending hands and pluck out their offending eyes. Christians should lend money to anyone who would borrow it, not expect to get it back. Christians should take a gift to the priest when they are healed. Christians should be circumcised. Believers should be baptized with waters for the remission of sins. All of those things are scriptural. But they're not dispensational, and so they are wrong. So when someone tells you it's scriptural, what does that mean? I want you to get two passages of scripture. I want you to get 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to get Ephesians chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 3. If you memorize these two scriptures, and probably one you have memorized, if you memorize these two scriptures, you can counteract any of those 19 things that I just mentioned. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, let's quote it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you understand right division, you can counteract any of these things that people throw at you. With one other scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. We can say that there are some things in this Bible that were unsearchable at some point in time, and so consequently, if you don't understand that there is a division and there is Pauline epistles out there, you got a problem. Right division. You know, so many people tell me, said, well, what you do, you write division, folks. What you do is you take whatever you want and you say, that's not for today. And you use that as an excuse. But that's not an excuse, is it? It's a fact. The thing about it is there are two things out there in Christendom today, and that's people who place themselves under the law and people who place themselves under grace. Now, other people, other scholars, religious scholars, will say that there might be 5, 7, 9 dispensations, but for the sake of today's preaching, I'm going to divide it into law and grace. That's the key. So what we have is denominational creeds practice most of their creeds under the law. The law is from Exodus through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and from Hebrew through Revelation. You're going to find the law in those books. You're going to find only the grace gospels and the Pauline epistles, which are 13 in number, beginning with Romans. Now, that's where you have to divide. And look at the unsearchable riches. Every saved individual during this present dispensation, whether they're Jew or Gentile, is a member of the body of Christ and should therefore take heed, therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts 20:28. You must take heed, therefore, unto yourself and all the flock, because you've been made overseers of the truth. Paul says, you're to be servants, right? What does a servant do? Serves. How many people today who know the grace message are faithful servants of the truth? Too few. Too few. And so consequently, we have a lot of people that are not getting the truth of the message from Paul. In this age of grace, God requires no religious ceremonies for salvation or for membership. The only ones that require rituals for membership are people who want you to join their church. But there is no requirement other than taking the gift, and the gift is Jesus Christ dying for your sins. So you must grab hold of the gift if you're going to be saved. Let's look at religious people and who they say, and those that say you shouldn't eat pork. And I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 8. I'm waiting. Deuteronomy 14, 8. Okay, and the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. Is that scriptural? Is it right? How can you determine if it's right? Those two scriptures that I gave you. Okay? It is scriptural, but it's not right. And just because someone says, well, it's scriptural, I want you from this day forward to start questioning, well, is it for today? Now I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 people who tell us that you can't eat pork, I wonder what they think of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, doing, what this, forbidding to marry and commanding, watch these words, to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. I ask, is this religious person scriptural? If you are under the law, eating no pork is scriptural. Paul says what? Eat anything. As long as you do what? You pray. All right? Go to Acts chapter... Well, I'll just kind of... Go to Acts chapter 4. No, Acts chapter 2. We're going to get to 4 right after that. There are people who base their entire doctrinal position in Acts chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5. Right? Is that under the law? Nod your head this way. It is. All right, it is under the law. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And all that believe were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Okay, guys. Billy, would you line up back there at the back and everybody empty your purses right now and your billfolds and sit, take it back there. And Mark and Steve and Jerry and some of these other preachers are just going to divide it among us. Amen. Oh, Steve said this is his church. He's going to get the greater portion. Does that passage of Scripture say that? Okay, some of you tightwads, you believe that? Yeah, I called you a tightwad. Look at chapter 4, verse 34, 35. Chapter 4, verse 34, 35. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Got any property? Sign the deed over to me right now. That's what it says. Do you know that those two principles that are there in the book of Acts are communist principles? Do you really? I challenge you to go and look at the first plank of the Communist Manifesto and the third plank. The first plank actually is, it advocates the abolition of property. And the third plank, which advocates the abolition of the rights of inheritance. Communistic thoughts and ideas in that thing. How many people who operate under the program of Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5 would ever do that? I know one guy in Alexandria, Louisiana, got the biggest Pentecostal church that's there. You tell him that he's to get anybody else is to get anything but him. He operates under that theory. So help me. His wife called me the devil. A lot of other people call me worse, but anyway, isn't that sad? A stretch, you say? No, at all. No, not at all. And the people who place themselves under that position would howl if you said they were practicing communistic practices. But that's exactly what they're doing. There's a group of people who follow Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Look at it. Exodus 20, 8 through 10. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gates. You can't even let a horse work. Plow the field on that day. These people are passionate about believing the Bible to a point. Okay? They take this portion of the Ten Commandments and make it the focal point of their denomination. They also observe, as others do, the fact of washing one's feet. You can go to John 13, 14. It says that, but we won't take time to read it this time. If you're taking notes, do that. John 13, 14. The seventh day, Saturday, is the Sabbath day. Sunday, which is the first day of the week, is not, get this, is not the Christian's Sabbath. No way. Some so wrongly call it the Christian Sabbath, and neither should it be called the Lord's Day either. Do you think these people should consider that they are scriptural? Yes, they are. I ask, is this religious person scriptural? You're under the law, it is. But we are not under the law, but grace. So, it may be scriptural, but not dispensational, and may be wrong. Can it? So, why do these people wash feet? What do you think? Why do they wash feet? They say it's a symbolic of cleansing, of humility. Cannot the same be said if baptism is symbolic of cleansing? It can. And what about humility? Do you have to wash feet in order to be humble? No. So what are they doing? They're taking positions under the law and their denominational creed and placing that over the Bible rightly divided, which is a problem today. Okay? Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. But as with all the above mentioned groups, this is scriptural, but not necessarily right. You know those that go two by two, right? Now there's two scriptural in the Bible, it's that way, and here's what I want to tell you about it. And I took this straight from this book, okay? The one thing that is bothering me is what they think about the pearl of great price, which is supposed to be, quote, the revelations, translations, and narrations of Joseph Smith, first prophet, seer, and revelator to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The other day, I went to my door, and I saw two young ladies there. They handed me this pamphlet with what I just quoted you. Now, I'd never seen two ladies going out two by two. Seen plenty of men going. But these were two young ladies, nice-looking, well-dressed young ladies. And I said, thank you, but I'll give this back to you, because I've read it many times, and you might want to use it someone else, but I don't believe what you believe. Well, why? Well, I'm a preacher. Oh, you are? Yeah. And why is it you don't believe? I said, because I believe the Bible over the pearl of great price. But yet you, if it differs, the Bible and the pearl of great price, you are going to take that book over God's holy book. And that's wrong. And so consequently, thank you very much, but you can go on your way and try to convince someone else. Was that ugly? Yes. But as I've told you before in the past, I'm getting too darn old to be apologetic or anything, and I just say what I'm going to say, period. Okay? It's not right. My wife gets upset over it. And those of you who know, I posted on Facebook, this is our 54th wedding anniversary on the 1st. And she's put up with me forever. The solution for all the groups that we've mentioned so far is what we found in Ephesians chapter 3. Folks, do you know how important the unsearchable riches of Christ really is to you as a grace believer? Unsearchable riches of Christ, past finding out those things. If Paul had not had it revealed unto him, you know what? You would be lost and going to hell today. Paul's gospel, and specifically 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 4, tell you how you can be saved. It's the grace of God that saved you. It's the faith of Christ that saved you. Christ died for your sins. He was buried and rose again. And in Romans it says for your justification. That's how you get saved. If you got saved, or you thought you got saved because you simply believed in Christ and got water baptized for the remission of your sins, chances are you're probably lost. Maybe there's some here today that think that they're saved because they got baptized. When I was in the Baptist church for 37 years, we didn't list on the board over here the number of saved people. We listed on the board the number of baptisms. What was more important in that church, baptism or saved? It's wrong. The unsearchable riches of Christ let us know that God had something in store for us, those of us who are in this room, Gentiles, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, 12, and 13, who had no hope without God in this world. Okay? But now we have a hope because of the revelation that Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul. Some people ask me, well, what would you say in one word is your doctrinal position? And I said, that's easy. Pauline. Pauline. Most people say, huh? They don't know what you mean. It's clear that many of the religious examples that I've given have never studied the Pauline epistles. As a matter of fact, so many of those people don't even open up their Bible to read the Pauline epistles. They couldn't tell you what's in it if their life depended on it. And yet those 13 books is why you and I can be saved today. If you haven't read them, you ought to. So, go to 1 Corinthians. No, that's to go to. Now, I'll just quote 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. How that Christ died for our sins, buried and rose again for our justification. And then in Romans, for our justification. So, that's quickly. I overdid it. The answer to the question, many questions, is found in this book by rightly dividing the word of truth and checking out those unsearchable riches of Christ that could never be made available to us except through the Pauline epistles. If one believes the gospel of Christ, he's saved. That's simply that. Okay? Have you believed? Has there come one point in your life that you sat down and said, you know, I believe if I died today, I'd be lost and go to hell. But for Christ. So I'm just going to simply, listen to this, I'm just going to simply trust Christ did it all for me. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Great song. But the truth, you couldn't have paid anything to get it into your salvation, but those go in that baptismal pool thinking that that washing of that water over their bodies is going to save them is a sad, sad, sad thing. All it ever did was get somebody wet. Almost got one lady drowned. Back in my Baptist church in Alexandria, Louisiana, I was chairman of the deacons at one point in time. And the chairman of the deacons was supposed to baptize at least one time a year. Back then, I didn't have this gut. I was about 30 in the waist and weighed about 150 pounds. Okay? And I had a man, if he weighed 400 pounds, he weighed 800. I mean, he was big. and I got to baptize this man. I stepped down in that water, and I turned to this other deacon. I said, "What am I going to do? I might drown that guy." He said, "Well, just take your knee and just kind of lay him down on one knee." And I did that, and he just fell right flat on the bottom. Came up sputtering and everything. I was so happy he came up. I was, you know, it's great. But that didn't save the man. It got him wet and almost drowned. Are you a religionist? Are you a denominationalist? You could be lost, but you need not to be. Trust Christ as your Savior. We used to sing in that Baptist church, and I learned a lot of good songs. Baptist, only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you. What? Now. That's all you got to do. Trust Him. Would you do that? Thank you.